Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Have you ever wondered if there's more to understanding people than what we hear or see on the surface? Well, today's conversation invites us to look at relationships in a completely different way. My guest, Heather Eck, experiences the world primarily through color, but we'll find out more as we go along. As an intuitive artist with synesthesia, she interprets people, emotions, and energy through color and translates those experiences into art that supports healing and connection. And in this episode, we explore how intuition, creativity, and awareness can help us better understand ourselves and the people around us. So welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to see you.
Yes, I'm excited to learn more about you and the work that you do. And I think I did ask you this ahead of time, that I think my listeners probably are not familiar, most of them, with synesthesia, which I wasn't. And I wondered if you would explain that to us, what it is and how it shows up in your everyday life.
Yeah, of course. So if you are familiar with this movie called Ratatouille, it's a Pixar movie that came out a few years ago about the little rat that likes to cook.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a scene... It's one of my favorites.
I haven't, I don't think I actually saw that movie, but it was funny that you mentioned that movie because my nephew, we always think he looks like the chef.
Like the chef?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
Linguini.
Right. I'm going to watch it now. Okay.
Please do. You'll love it.
Okay. So the little rat. Okay.
Remy, the little rat, he is, there's a scene where he is in like a black screen and he's holding a strawberry and a piece of cheese and he takes a bite. And then behind him on screen, you see colorful swirls. And then he takes a bite of the cheese and you see colorful swirls. And that is, I think, a perfect visual of what happens in a synesthete's mind, depending on what form of synesthesia they have. But it's essentially where your brain's signals sort of cross. And so for me, if I taste something or smell something or hear music or meet somebody, I will see their energy in my mind as a shape or a color or even a choreography. And there are over 80 different forms of synesthesia. And so it can be things like you might the days of the week as colors, or music as color, or I have something called mirror touch pain, which is essentially if I see that somebody's in pain or I think about their pain, I'll get pain that rakes down the backs of my legs. And it's just that I'm sort of interpreting their pain through a physical sensation. And that happens to me a lot with people when I meet them. I feel in my body what is happening with them energetically.
Wow. And I did do a little bit of research on it. And I will say here that what I read says synesthesia isn't a disease or disorder. It won't harm your health and it doesn't mean you're mentally ill. Some studies suggest people who have it may do better on memory and intelligence tests than those who don't. And while it may seem easy to make up, there's proof that it's a real condition. And I'm guessing that it's kind of like you said it, that your five senses, they get mixed up, or the synapses aren't perfectly separated or something, right?
Yeah.
And very fascinating. I'm going to say this now before we get into talking about more about what you do, but I remember, and I don't know if this is a form of it or if this was an experience of that or not, but it sounds to me like it was. I once had a friend who was, or an acquaintance who was a psychic. She did readings for people. And I loved what she did. And my girlfriend lost her son and she was seeking out things. And she went to have a reading with this woman. And the woman, before she went to visit my friend, She had talked to me and she knew a little bit about that fact that my friend had lost her son. He was a basketball player and a hero in the school, and it was a very sad accident on grad night. He got hit by a bus, blah, blah, blah. But, and in fact, it's 20 years ago this month. So it's kind of, or
Oh, wow.
this year. And the psychic said to me something. She asked me a question. She said, I got this very horrific smell when I started to do a little bit of, focus on this person. And it turns out when she told my friend that, it made sense because her son had the worst smelling running shoes in his locker, like all the time. Now, is that a sense of synesthesia?
Oh, that's a really great question. So,
Really? I mean, I didn't want, yeah.
yeah, it's a great question. I'm so sorry for your friend's
Yeah,
loss.
and it was, as I said, 20 years ago, but
But
yeah,
still, it's
still
that
there,
ache
you
is
know?
there.
Yeah.
So there are all of us have spiritual gifts. We all come into
Yes.
this life with those. And there are what are called the clairs. And so you have clairaudience, which is clear hearing, or
Yes.
claircognizance, clear knowing. There's
Okay.
one called clairalience, which is about smell. And so I have a little bit of that too, where you can sort of pick up on somewhat, like, for example, I can smell the New York City subway through a TV show. Like, I can smell that. But you talk about something, I can smell it. If I think about my grandfather, I might smell his pipe.
Yes.
So that's a form of clair. And I think my strongest clair is clairsentience, which is clear feeling. And I think that's sort of where I pick up on somebody energetically through their emotional body, and then it comes through to me, or it sort of expresses itself in my mind through color, through shape, or through form. But a lot of times, I interviewed somebody today who had also lost his daughter a number of years ago, and the whole time I was talking to him, I just felt like I was going to cry. I kept wiping my eyes, and I think it was just that his energy is still so immersed in that grief space that it's pervasive, and so I feel it. So I think it's a form. I think it's a probably a clair, but it if she saw it, it probably also is a form of some kind of synesthesia too.
Yeah, interesting. So when did you first realize that you were experiencing people and situations through your senses that way?
Honestly, I think that I have been this way since I was a little kid, and I just didn't know what it was called. I did not
Sure.
know that it was called synesthesia until I was in my early 40s, and I saw another artist online who said, "I have sound to color synesthesia," and she was painting songs, and I went, "Oh, wait a second. I thought that everybody had that. I didn't know that it wasn't a thing that everybody had." And so I would lay it when I was a little kid, like when you walk into a room and you sort of know what's happening with the people, you get a feel for
Vibe, yeah.
tension here, or something like
Yeah.
that. So that was always with me. And then I would lay in my room and I would draw or paint or what have you, but I would draw the music that I was listening to. And I specifically remember there was this movie that came out in the late 90s called The Piano, and I laid on the floor and drew what the music looked like.
Oh,
And
interesting.
so I think it's been with me for a long time.
So then it's not genetic, it's not hereditary.
I've asked my dad this because
Yeah.
I think my dad is, we all have spiritual gifts. I think my dad has them. He just hasn't tapped into them. But I asked him one time, I'm like, "Did you, when you tasted that, Dad, did you see it?"
Yeah.
Because I'll taste something and I'll go, "Oh, it goes like this up and then up." In my mind, it
That's
has
so
like a
interesting.
shape.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Did that, what does that look like to you?" I'm like, "I think he's got it too. He just doesn't know."
Oh, interesting. So we don't really know if it's hereditary then, in your
I
case,
don't
anyway.
know.
Are
Yeah,
you
not sure.
left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed, but for a while I did a lot of things left-handed. I would like play pool left-handed and
Okay.
like
Because
weird
it
things
says that
like
it's
that.
more prevalent in left-handed people, in what I read.
Yeah,
But
nope,
yeah, because
right-handed.
I'm left-handed, but don't see things in colors or in shapes or whatever. But anyway, fascinating. So All right. So, how does synesthesia influence the way you understand people and the energy they bring into a relationship? How does it affect how you talk to people? What color am I? Like, what are you seeing talking to me? Because that's what it makes me want to ask you. Because, yeah.
So I see yellow and green around you,
Ooh,
and
I don't like those colors.
I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't like those colors either, but they're not bad.
That's hysterical. Those are my least favorite colors.
I don't like yellow and green together. I can't stand it. I have
No,
hated
I
it
can't
since I was a
either.
little kid. It's a weird thing. I just don't like the two of them together, like the lemon lime. I'm not a fan. But energetically, what they show me is that you dwell in your solar plexus and in your heart. And so those two colors reflect where you spend most of your time. Solar plexus can be all about your sense of identity, how you want to show up and represent yourself to people, how you want people to see you, your sense of optimism, of joy, of self-worth, of confidence, and also in your heart, which is all about your ability to love, accept, forgive, cherish, nourish yourself and your heart. So green is all about self-love, acceptance, and compassion.
That's
So
really interesting, though, because when I think of green, I think of envy, I think of jealousy, right? Which is the traditional sort of, right?
So I sort of see the colors as connected to energy centers. If you think about chakras, that was my original understanding of them. Now I sort of align them more with like a biblical understanding or even like a Levitical understanding because I think of having how God created everything and from that came color too. So now I associate it more that way. So green is a color of nature. It's a color of nourishment, of growth, of flourishing,
You
and
know what
of the
my last
heart.
name was? My maiden name?
What?
Greenfield.
No kidding.
Isn't that interesting?
How funny. I
That's
love that.
really, really interesting. So you spent years working in the corporate world. How many of us didn't before becoming a full-time intuitive artist? So, what was the turning point that led you to trust that path?
It did not happen overnight. It was a long road. I was like a certification chaser. I was looking for something. I couldn't find it. I did everything from Pilates to HR to my coaching certification to, I mean, I dabbled in everything. And I think it was because I was seeking something. And I had always been a very spiritual person, and I was working with a spiritual teacher, and I'd kind of reached this point in my career and in my life where I really hated every single part of it. Like I was exhausted. I remember specifically we drove down to Disney for a vacation, and I borrowed one of those Wi-Fi things from IT, and I worked the entire drive down. Like I was just torn up. And I went to see my spiritual teacher, and she said, "What were you like as a kid? Because your gifts show up when you're a kid." And that was very true for me. That creative expression was pervasive for me when I was younger. And the instant that she said creative expression, it was like a light bulb went off in my mind, and I started painting. And I was painting in the morning before work and painting for people, at night, doing spirit portraits and stuff. And I started to get to this point where I thought, I no amount of time off is going to make me feel better. And I wanted to leave, but I didn't know how. And on one day, I received a promotion and an enormous raise. And I received my very first art show on the exact same day. And I was so mad. I was so irritated by that because
Really?
I felt like I was getting mixed signals from the universe about what to do. I felt like I was mad at God, honestly, because I was like, "Well, you told me to do this art thing, and then you give me the more money than I've ever seen in my life. Like, what am I supposed to do here?" But I think that what I was doing was sending mixed signals because I was trying to straddle both worlds, and that does not work. And so, long story short, I had this very challenging manager, and he had kind of pushed me to the edge one day, and I said, "That's it, I'm done." And I decided I would resign. And I went in to tell him that I was planning on resigning, but that I would work through the rest of the year. And as soon as I said, "I'm giving you my notice," he was like, "Let's go tell your team." And within 2 weeks, I was done. And honestly, it was as though I had never had any work at all there. Within that 2 weeks' time, it was like projects just poof, obliterated. They just like disappeared. And I think that that was God's way of saying, like, you're done. Because had I decided to stay and work for another couple of months, I don't think I ever would have left. I think I'd still be there.
Oh, I was thinking that it showed your boss's true colors and how you could maybe never have worked for him much longer
Yeah.
anyway than the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Been painful.
It would have been painful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But I mean, we live in that world that when we don't know anything better and we're fearful of what's out there because especially when you've got that good money hanging over your head. So I can see that being part of the issue as well. But
For sure.
yeah. So when you went out on your own, you had your first art show ready to get ready for then right away.
I had had a couple of art shows. I felt like I had that first art show that I did a few while I was still working, and then afterwards kind of started to dig into well, now what do I do? How do I find more work? How do I show my work? And then how do
Yes.
I, build a business out of this too?
Did you have any one thing that helped that, catapulted things for you?
Honestly, what's really funny is when I look back at the timing of everything, I think it's so divine because I left in September 2019 and then COVID happened in March 2020.
Yeah.
And my son was in second grade at the time. And so I was able to be home with him running my
Okay.
business while helping support him, which was such a blessing because I don't know that I could have done that corporate HR job and school at
Yeah.
the same time. But I also think during that time, a lot of people, they looked around in their lives and their homes and their offices, and they were like, "I need to change things up here." So I sold more art in that year, that first year of COVID, than I had ever
Interesting.
sold before, I think, for that reason too. So that was really nice.
So is your primary work now your artwork, or is it using art to help? Because I know you help high achieving women make the decision that they've been circling for months, is what it says on here on your LinkedIn profile. And you've registered the color mapping method. So do you teach art as well?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my days really split between making art because I like to make large abstract pieces that sort of reflect the energy of what's happening in the world. Or for the last couple of years, I've been really immersed in biblical study and in learning Hebrew and really kind of tapping into
Oh,
this ancient wisdom, and painting what I read, which is really
nice.
exciting. And so I do that and then work on getting exhibitions and showing
Yeah.
that work. And then also working with women one-on-one through sort of creative, I would call it like spiritual therapeutic art.
Okay.
Because I look at where I was at that time when I was in corporate and couldn't figure out how to get out of this place that I
Right.
felt so miserable in. And
Yes.
art really started to bring me back to myself. And I meet a lot of women who they don't necessarily want to quit their jobs to become artists, but
No.
they do want to rediscover this part of themselves that they've lost sight of. And a lot of the people that I talk to have just lost this creative side of themselves. They just have sort of forgotten what it's like to play. And we learn so much about ourselves through art, whether we're journaling or writing or doodling. And so it's sort of a combination of art and coaching combined, where we'll sit down, I'll do a color reading for, like I just did for you, and say, "Here's what I see, and here's what that might represent." And we use that as sort of a jumping off point. And then we'll say, "Well, let's explore that. Here's an art exercise, or here, journal on this." And it's amazing what comes up when you just give yourself a few minutes of quiet and allow yourself to think and feel. And I just helped somebody the other day. She was like, "I got this client. I want to break up with this client. And here are the reasons why I don't want to, money, of course. I don't want to break
Yeah.
up with this client." And so we worked through, and I had her do an art, a therapeutic art exercise. And at the end, she goes, "Oh, why am I obviously want to fire this client. So I'm just going to do it." So She ended up good. But sometimes I think it's the permission slip that you
Yeah.
need.
Well, I was just thinking when you were talking about in order to for you to help these people, these women who are going through, there has to be a trust there that happens for them to work with you. Does that come quickly because you're so intuitive, or are is most of your work referral based? But still, you're talking to people you don't know very well, perhaps at the beginning. So, where do you see, or how do you make that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there is a little bit of a longer runway because it is trusting it. So it's sometimes I think about like going to see a psychic, right? You're like,
Yep.
I don't know this lady. She's going to
Yeah.
tell me
Yeah.
some stuff about myself. I think that color is a really gentle way of exploring an aspect of yourself, right? Like if I say, "Oh, I see blue around you," and blue tells me that there's an aspect of your life that you have been unwilling to speak about or talk about, or a truth that you're withholding. Just by saying that to somebody, they go, "Oh my
Oh, they
gosh."
know. Yeah.
And they know immediately. And I think because I think I credit a lot of my 20 plus years in HR and my coaching certification for being able to just hold space for somebody while they process something like that. And so I think after building that trust and sharing that information, there tends to be this instant sort of like, okay, yeah,
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's
they're
move on.
comfortable. They're more comfortable quickly. Yeah. It's funny. I was on a networking, online networking thing this morning, and it was with some people I did not know. It was the first time I'd gone to this thing. And I was invited by a gentleman that I had interviewed on my podcast. And the people that were there were all very easy to talk to and very comfortable to share things with very quickly. And because he had us do an exercise in breakout rooms about trust and about I forget now what it was, but it was can you build about toxic people in your life, and can you actually build trust virtually quickly? And it was really interesting exercise, but I think the people in the room made the difference. Yeah, so I don't always experience that. All right, so I'm just looking. You're okay. So your work often blends color, intuition, and spirituality, which I've heard you talk in all of that. How do these elements come together when you create a piece of art? Are you the only one that knows what that piece of art is, or right?
No, you know what is so funny about my work is that for a long time, before I was thinking about trying to put together an exhibition of any kind, I went to France for 2 weeks at the beginning of January last year, and I came back and I thought, oh my gosh, I just started to put together the thought around an exhibition because it felt like I was building a collection of pieces that were all centered around a specific theme. Prior to that, I would just make a piece and no, there would be no pieces that looked alike. They were all very different. And I used to say, oh, these are just commissions for people I haven't met
Ah, good
yet.
one. Yeah. I
And I
like it.
had a photographer come over to take some pictures in the studio, and I was going to do one of those spin around things, and I pulled the piece and I showed it to her, and she looked at it and she instantly broke into tears. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And she goes, "That's me. That's my painting." And I've had people cry when they've seen their pieces before, but I've never had somebody go, "Oh, that's mine." And
That's,
I
did you shiver? Did you something physical happen to you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
because I think that it is there's some aspect of your soul that recognizes you in the painting, whether that's through color or the symbol or what have you. I think that there's something, it's like when you hear a song and you are moved by the strings or those chords that just give you the chills and you're like, oh, this is my song. I think that that happens with artwork. And I've had people, my one really dear friend, I had her over to the house and I had all these pieces lined up on the wall and hers was in there. And I said, your painting is over there. Do you think that you can find it? And she went and picked every single piece up and she touched it and she held it and she skipped right over hers. And then she goes, I don't know which one is mine. And I said, the one that you blatantly ignored. And we laughed about it because at the core message of that painting was about reflection, and it was about seeing yourself as God sees you. And she was at the time unwilling to accept that part of herself, and so her spirit, whoop, skipped it. So that's an interesting thing, I think, that there are times where I can explain, oh, well, this color represents that and this, and if you look at, there's a symbol here and that means this, which I can do, but I also think that there are something about pieces that you will pick up on if it's meant for you.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. Okay, many of my listeners are business professionals. How can being more aware of energy and intuition improve the way we build relationships at work?
That is such a great question. I love that. So I think we intuitively know a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And if you kind of, like we talked about, just give yourself a minute before a meeting, before you walk into a room, to just sort of take a breath and ask yourself what sensations or feelings or temperatures or whatever that you feel in your body. Because they are sending a signal to you about something. You know, when you say, like, oh, I just got this gut feeling or my gut wrenched or something, that is really your intuition firing and telling you to pay close attention. And I ignored that for a really, really long time. And I think a lot of us do. It's like when you can give yourself space to feel your, most of the time, you can navigate the world simply by how you feel about something. Whether you are feeling expansive and excited and open, that seems to be a good thing to follow. If it feels tight or restrictive, or you're like, oh, I got a little bit of a twinge here, that's generally a sign to say, like, not so much.
I think that I feel that's how I operate, I think. A lot of the
Awesome.
time. And it may be that you can't do anything about it at the moment. You know, if you feel like, oh my God, this is not where I should be or whatever, and it's too late to do that, but to change it. But it does color how you are in that situation. And sometimes for me, that feels like, I don't know what to say as easily, or it just feels totally uncomfortable. And if I know that this is where I should be, then I can be more open and more comfortable and have more fun doing it.
For sure. Yeah. I think that that is a skill that you can strengthen, or a muscle that you can strengthen
But
the more.
you can't be more authentic. Like that's like, well, authenticity, it's an absolute, I think, right?
I
Right. And
agree.
so yeah, so if you're not being authentic, it's being led by those feelings or those messages that you're getting that says, no, this isn't right for you, but there's nothing you can do about it at the time, so you have to muddle through it.
Yeah, I agree. What just came up for me then when you said that is that, like, if you are spending all day sort of telling all these little lies to yourself about how you feel, then you're not being authentic because there's a truth that's not being expressed. And a lot of times that you are blocking the truth of what your body, your spirit is trying to convey to you. And that causes pain, and it causes anxiety, and it causes dis-ease in the body when you're not being authentic.
Yeah, beautiful. It's true. Have you ever had a moment where the colors that you sensed about a person revealed something surprising or meaningful about them? I'm sure you've had many of those, but I'm.
There was one story that I always go back to with this woman that I met who I felt blue all around her. I mentioned the color blue before. We're just talking about truth. Which I think if we go back to that, how can you use energy and intuition at work? You can use color to help support you at work too in relationships. If you know you're going into a room with somebody who's really grates on your nerves and you get stressed or anxious going in, you can wear blue for yourself and for that other person because it will instantly soothe and calm them down, lowers the blood pressure, and it soothes the energy of the space. So you can always lean on color for certain situations or relationships, if you need a little bit of extra support there,
That's
which
interesting.
is.
So over the years, I mean, I'm sure I've taken at least four or five different personality type quizzes or whatever they were called. And between DISC and the color theory one, and there's a whole bunch of them I can't even remember, but they all have colors associated. Most of them have colors associated with them. And like I think of the color one in particular, because I remember I was in corporate at the time, and I was in a training department, and we were customer trainers that would go to clients and we would do training. And most of us, when this person came in to do the training with us, most of us were the same color because we're all trainers, right? But I think of how instilled in me some of those basic colors are when you think of, and tell me how different it really is in your world of synesthesia. So red is power. Red is extrovert. Red is, they're stand up and they'll speak in front of a room. Blue is I think they've got some heartfelt in them, and their emotion, their nurturers and those kind of people. Green are the analysts and the engineers and the project over people kind of people. And the fourth color I think was orange in this particular thing. And orange, I can't remember because it's so removed from me, I think. But there's so in other words, I have sort of mental rem thoughts around those four colors for the different personality types. Is that completely like washed away and completely different in your world?
There are some similarities there, and I think because if you look at like color psychology, there's and color theory, I think that there's a lot that overlaps there. So, for example, the red as somebody who's being strong and powerful, yes, that aligns very much with the root, which is all about strength, stability, financial security and power. So that one feels really closely aligned. Blue, I would say, is a nurturing color in that I think it supports calm, tranquility, peace. They're probably the peacekeepers,
Trust, does trust come in
trust,
there?
authenticity. And if you look at like different brand logos and things like that, you'll find, American Express is blue, McDonald's is red and yellow. So you look at the differences there, you can kind of start to think about why those colors become pervasive for people. Was the other color you mentioned were
Green and
the
orange.
green engineers and the so
The
green,
analysts. Yeah.
the analysts, yeah. So I would say that's more of a gray to me
Okay.
because those folks tend to be more neutral in decision making, and they tend to be the people who don't really want to rock the boat but sort of stick to the facts. It's a little bit of the black, which is about protection, sophistication, and privacy, and then white, which is all about like clarity, clear slate. So like bringing those two together. And then orange is typically a color of strong emotion, expression, relationship, sexuality, creativity.
Yes,
So you
creativity. Yeah,
would,
that's what I remember. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
fascinating. Yeah, so cool. So, for someone who feels disconnected from their intuition, what are some simple ways that they can become more in tune with their intuition?
This is going to sound really simple, but just put the phone away for a little bit, get away from a screen and be alone with your thoughts for a little bit and just allow yourself to be, to just allow yourself to listen to what's going on inside your brain. I'm not saying you have to respond to it, and certainly please don't judge it, but just allow those thoughts to become smoother, clearer, so you can hear what's going on for you. And then I think start to practice it. And I say practice, not test it, but like practice it where you can say, my son and I went through a drive-through a couple of weeks ago and he was going to get, I think it was like socks or something. And I said, Larry, let's play. What color socks are you going to get today? And he said, I'm going to get blue. And I was like, I think you're going to get blue too. And then when we opened the box, he had blue socks. And I was like, awesome. So it's just sort of like learning to play and trust yourself to kind of dig into something. You could say, like, I wonder what song's going to come on next, or I wonder who's going to call me today, and just sort of ask, like, start to tune in a little bit more. Meditation is always a way to just calm the mind so you can hear more clearly. And then, of course, I'm a big fan of journaling. If you can just take, 5 minutes a day and just, even if you're not writing words, just scribble, but somatically move those thoughts out onto paper, and that'll help to clear the clutter a little bit.
Those are all good ideas. Amazing. Last question on this. If there's one insight you hope listeners take away about understanding people differently, what would that be?
Oh my gosh. I think for me, I always try to approach people with compassion. And I think that everybody's going through something. You know, people will ask, is my aura black? Do you see, is my aura? And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you're fine. Everything's okay. But I think that we're all going through something, every single one of us. And we reflect what we're going through in the conversations we have, in the colors that we choose to wear, in the way that we respond to people. And so I'd say just be compassionate with yourself and give yourself grace, and then be compassionate with other people because everybody's going through something.
So true, especially today in this world. My granddaughter, who's 6 and a half, she has everything had to be purple for like the first 5 years and even 6 months. Everything's purple. And she loves purple. And just the other day, she said to me, I think I like yellow, Grandma, now. And I'm like, yellow, that doesn't even match with anything purple. What do you mean? She said, I think yellow is my new favorite color and purple second. And she threw me for a loop. Yeah, I don't think so. I know, but we haven't got so that we have to buy everything yellow yet, but we'll see.
Well, what's really fun about that is, so purple is the color of the crown energy center, which is about our connection to God, to our higher selves and the divine. And so a lot of times that was my favorite color when I was a kid too, because we come in and we're still connected. You know, we're still we still have all that intuition. It's still there. We haven't pushed it away.
And I said she was an old soul, so that probably, yeah. Okay, that
Probably,
makes sense.
yeah. And yellow and purple are complementary, so they
I
go
know.
together really well,
I
which is
know,
kind of cool.
but I don't like yellow. See, we went through that at the beginning. We've come
You
full
did,
circle
yeah.
now that I think about it. Yeah, just thought that was interesting. And I do notice silly things like that. It's kind of fun. So I'll keep you
Yeah.
posted on what happens with the yellow.
Please
So
do.
yeah, so I could go on and on with this stuff. It's really fascinating to me and interesting. Let me ask you one last question about your work, though. Who do you love to work with? You know, if my listeners are intrigued by the work that you do, how can they find you? And who do you, you know, who is your target audience? Because I mean, we're in business. We need to know these things too.
So you can find me online on Instagram. I'm at Heather Eck Artist. And if you are interested in learning more, you can DM me the word color, and I'll know that you heard me on your show.
Okay,
And
cool.
yeah,
Spelled
I'm happy
Canadian
to.
or American? No, just kidding.
Oh, great question. COLOR.
Just kidding. Yeah.
However you want to spell it is fine.
Okay.
Honestly, I love to work with people who are me 5 years ago. They're the ones who are, sitting on they're sitting at the crossroads of trying to figure out what is next for them, and they're a little bit stuck or a lot of bit stuck, and they just don't quite know. They've lost touch with their intuition. They know that there's something bigger and more purposeful for them, and they just haven't gotten there yet. And I think that's what the color reading can help you with, is helping you figure out what's keeping you stuck, and then working through this sort of spiritual therapeutic art to help you uncover it.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
This has
thank
been
you.
fascinating. Looking at how seeing people about seeing people and relationships through a different lens. Your perspective reminds us that connection goes far beyond words and logic. Thanks for sharing your experiences and helping us think about intuition, creativity, and relationships in a different way. For those listening, be sure to connect with Heather and explore her work to learn more about the power of color and intuition. And as I started to, I think it's interesting to look into the power and the meaning behind synesthesia, because I think it's definitely a gift, and I think it's a very interesting thing to explore. And I will be doing that a little bit further. So thank you again, Heather, for your time and
Thank
for
you.
your wisdom.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.